In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Sermon for this Ash Wednesday is according to the Gospel text. You're invited to be seated. Individual churches have traditions. The wider, greater church has traditions. And so tonight, as we, move into a very traditional season in the church, I'd like to talk about some of them. It is traditional during the Lenten season that we as Christians take on some practices that aid us in our repentance and reflection. Very often throughout history, Christian men and women have given up something, some part of their worldly routine to remind them of their mortality. Not so often, though, they have added something to their spiritual discipline of practicing the Christian faith. In other words, they may have learned something from a discipline. Tonight in the Gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ invites us to be more dedicated in our life of faith. He directs us to be secretly generous. Secretly generous to help the needy. He encourages us to pray in private, faithfully trusting that God knows your needs even before you pray for them. And then he invites you to fast with class, not making a show of how hungry or how thirsty we are as we bring our bodies under control instead of always being controlled by our bodies. There's no doubt we could all be more generous. Sure, we give and we give a lot. But do we ever give in secret? True charity and generosity, according to Jesus, is done anonymously. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. But how many people know how much you've given to your favorite charity in the past year? How many folks know how much you give at church each week, because you make sure that at least one person sees the number? Maybe that's not you. But now, how many of you make charitable donations and always insist on the receipt? Then come tax time, we use our charitable donations as a deduction. It's hard to give in secret and not make a show one way or another. So Jesus reminds us this evening to give in secret. Lent is a good time to add generosity to your life of faith and to show some true secrecy to that generosity. What about prayer? When it comes to prayer, aren't you also lacking? Sure, you say the words of the Our Father day after day. Well, we know at school we learn it because we say it every day. So we know we will pray at least once. We could roll them off our tongue. Some can, some still can't. They're learning. And there's the nature of our sin. When we pray, oftentimes we pray without thinking. When we do think about praying, we think about what others will think. We pray where others can see us because we want to be seen praying like the Pharisees or the hypocrites. Or we'll refuse to pray in public because we don't want others to know we pray at all. Jesus says, pray in secret. Go into your own room and there say your prayers, and God, who knows your needs even before you pray, will answer you. Lent is a good time to add some prayer to your life of faith and to add some true, attentive honesty to that prayer. And then there's the one that seems to be the only one I ever get asked about. Pastor Hoffman, what about fasting? I always tell people, I'm not very fast. And I say, fasting? I don't even think we know what fasting is anymore. Fasting is refraining from food and drink or cutting down on your eating and drinking in order to remind yourself that as a Christian, you can control the body that God has granted you instead of your body pushing the first commandment out of the way and controlling you. Fasting is eating only two meals a day, perhaps, when your body demands three. Fasting is drinking only one soda a day when your body cries out for three or four or more. Fasting brings our bodies under a discipline that reminds us that our bodies are gifts from God to be cherished and well cared for. Not just pandered to with food and drink. Lent is a good time to add some fasting to your life of faith and to add some class to your fast. So there you go. The top questions I am asked every year. I decided it was worthy of a sermon. All you need for a successful Lent. Give more. And don't let anybody know. Pray more and keep it private. Fast more and keep it a secret. Do all this and your Lent will be, well, a failure. If truly keeping Lent meant that we had to keep these three disciplines without failing, we would find that our Lent was truly a disaster. Who among you can truly give and give only in secret? Who among you can truly pray and pray only in private? Who among you can truly fast and fast without making a show? We could try all Lent long, but it wouldn't take 40 days to experience a failure. Not that these are bad practices, because they are not. If you want to make an effort, I think you should. In fact, I encourage it. Christ encourages you to do them. They can be extremely useful and beneficial in your life of faith, your day-to-day life. They can be extremely beneficial, but understood from the beginning that it's not these disciplines that are the focus of Lent. It is Christ and Christ alone. If you concentrate only on giving, praying, and fasting during these 40 days, you will surely fail. You will fail, I will fail in all our efforts to do these things perfectly because of the fact that you and I are all sinners. The old Adam in us will raise his head and say, "Hey, hey, look how generous I am." The old Adam within us will bat our eyes and call out, "Over here, look at how much I pray and look at what good it does." The old sinner, regardless of who you are, will climb up out of the death pool of your baptismal waters. Put his foot down and declare, "I can outfast you and everyone else. My humility is superior to yours." And then he will lead us home to eat like pigs while nobody's looking. Try as we might this Lent, we will learn that we are sinners. We are sinners who are not generous as Christ calls us to be. We are sinners who do not pray as Christ calls us to pray. We are sinners who do not fast as Christ invites us to fast. Only when we realize that we are sinners do we begin to understand what the heck Lent is even about. Lent is about facing our sins and being honest about them. It's about reflecting on our sinfulness and saying to God, because I am a sinner, I am dust, and to dust I will return. I am poor, sinful being. I need a Savior. I need Christ. Turning to Christ is what Lent is all about. It's about turning to Christ in repentance. Especially at this time of the year, we struggle to rend our hearts and repent of our sins and so return to the Lord our God, who is indeed gracious and merciful. So we come to Christ with the sign of repentance on our heads. Ashes. Ashes made from the leaves of palm branches used on Palm Sunday. These ashes are an outward sign of our repentance. They are a physical reminder of our need to make confession for our sins. And so on this night, we mark the beginning of Lent by being completely honest with God and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Christ, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me, a poor, sinful being. In that confession right there lies the beginning of faith. As sinners, we realize that our sins are the source of the suffering of our Lord. As sinners, during Lent, we come to know that our lack of giving led Jesus to the cross. We come to the realization that our poor prayer life drove the nails through Jesus' hands and feet. We come to the cross with sorrow and contrition, confess that our gluttony brought about the death of Christ, our Lord, on the cross. As we meditate on our own sinfulness and on the passion of our Lord over these next 40 days, we will see that our problems in our life aren't other people as much as we want it to be. That the problems you have in your life will come from the mirror. Your sinfulness. We want to blame somebody else because the old Adam is there like Wonder Woman going pew, 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 blocking every accusation that God Himself makes against you. So Lord, have mercy on me, a poor sinful being. We will see Jesus work a miracle though, the forgiveness of all these sins. You're not fast enough to block them, to push them away. During Lent, we see Jesus keeping the disciples of Lent on our behalf. We see Jesus' divine generosity as we watch Him gather apostles together in the upper room and generously host them at the Passover. We too will be gathered together with the Lord through the sacrament of the altar, and we will benefit from Christ's generosity as He gives you His true body and blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins. Your sins. This is what the next 40 days are going to look like. We will see Jesus praying as He calls on you to pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prays until He sweats giant drops of blood. Alone, afraid, and destined for the cross, Jesus prays as you ought to pray and works forgiveness for your paltry lives of prayer. During this Lenten season, we will see Jesus fast for 40 days and nights in the desert, and then crush the head of the devil as he resists all temptations to sin. Through these actions of His, Jesus is forgiving you. Remember that. By His generosity, He is granting you forgiveness. By His prayer, He is building you up in the most holy faith. By His fasting, He is strengthening you for every confrontation you will face against the devil, the world, and yourselves. All these actions of our Lord lead to one place, the sacred place where Jesus stores up treasures for us, where moth and rust will never destroy. It leads to the cross. The ashes on your forehead that remind you of your sinfulness are in the shape of that cross. These ashes are a sign of your own sinful mortality that remind you that your Lenten destination is also the cross, the place of the execution of your Lord. There on the cross, you see Christ, your substitute, doing for you what you cannot do for yourselves. On the cross, you see Christ being more generous than we could ever be, as he gives up his very life that you might live forever. From the cross, you hear Christ praying his eternal prayer as he prays that you might be forgiven because you know not what you do. As we meditate on the cross, we see the Christ begin his heavenly fast so that you may be fed with the forgiving bread of life. Lent is indeed about giving, about praying, about fasting. It is about Christ giving, Christ praying, and Christ fasting. It's one of the great things about being Lutheran is this connection that we have to the church of forever, of ancient church living today, saying these things have not been forgotten in our world. We're not going to forget them. It's who we are. We hear Christ and we say, "Yes, Lord." Lent is about the gifts God generously gives you in Christ. It's about the prayer Christ continually prays for you before your heavenly Father. These 40 somber days are about Christ keeping the fast on your behalf until you join him in eternity. These acts of grace all culminate on the cross. There you see Christ keeping the disciplines of Lent to the extremes. So much so that in the end we see Christ give his life as a ransom for your sins. You see him prayerfully commit his spirits into the hand of the Father. You see him begin the 3-day fast of death in the tomb. On the cross, Christ keeps the disciplines of Lent, as we cannot keep them because, well, we can't. And in his death and on the cross, you see your forgiveness pour down his head and his hands, his arms and his legs, as the blood flows down his sacred body. Christ keeps the Lenten disciplines as they must be kept, and as only he can keep them. Hear me out right now. During these next 40 days, be generous. Not because you will be perfectly generous, but because Christ has been perfectly generous to you. During these 40 days, pray in the privacy of your own room and know that Christ is praying for you at the throne of the grace on high. Take some time to get away from this jerky world. Get away from it. Find a quiet room. Go in there and talk to God, because it might have been a while. During these 40 days, keep a fast and a discipline on your body. And that includes not only your stomach, but what your eyes partake of, what your ears partake of. What are you putting in you? What's on the screen in front of you? What's on the plate in front of you? What's going in here? What's coming out of here? Fast. Discipline your body, including your tongue. It will help you understand the trials and tortures Christ withstood in His own flesh and blood for your sake. And when, as I even remember telling the call committee, not if, but when I fail, and not if, but when you fail, return to the Lord your God. Remember, He's gracious. He's merciful. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Steadfast means His love doesn't move. It's there and it doesn't change. He loves you completely. The love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has kept the Lenten disciplines on your behalf, and by doing so has forgiven you all your sins. It's a heck of a thing I just said to you, and I hope you know that. These next 40 days are going to be different. I am going to be different. To you, I will be. Maybe I will seem different, maybe I won't. But I invite you to do the same. To take this Lent and don't make it like so many others. It's not about M&Ms. It's about saying, you know what? I'm sick and tired of looking more like the world than like the image of God I was created in. I'm sick and tired of not being the Christian that in my baptism I was created to be. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. And the only answer to that is Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds. And the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our faith as found in the baptismal creed on the back cover of your hymnal. The Apostles' Creed.